So we've been preaching a sermon series, and we're going to conclude that series today titled Unwrapping Christmas Gifts. And I know some of y'all are ready already that you got that gift underneath the tree and you're ready to rip off the bow and the ribbons and the paper and tear it open and see what's on the inside of that box or that side of that bag. You're ready to receive it and to get it. But before we do that, my hope is that we can unwrap the reality and the truth about Christmas. That it's not about some gift beneath the tree. It's about a God who hung on a tree for you and for me. It's about Jesus. That Jesus is God's greatest gift to us. It's Jesus that makes us debt free. That all of us have a sin debt that we owe God. And we could not pay that debt, but Jesus was the one that paid our debt in full, our sin debt in full. That's something to get excited about. And Jesus is also that special delivery that God sent down for you and for me. And his heart is to deliver us back to him one day. That whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're dealing with, it won't always be like this, that he will deliver us back to him again one day. So in this last sermon, y'all, I want to ask y'all a question. So as we're celebrating Christmas, and many will say that Christmas is what it is, the birth of Christ, we commemorate, remember the birth of Christ, the birthday of Jesus Christ, and what do folks get on their birthday? They get a present. They get a gift. The question to you, and it's a real question, it's a deep question. What will you give Jesus for Christmas? Have you thought about that? Sit in that for a minute. What will you give Jesus for Christmas? I thought about this for a moment. I thought maybe I could get him a really big globe of the earth, because the world that he made, it failed, it's fallen, and it broke. But the good news is he's already got that covered, that he's going to make all things new, that whatever's broken, whatever's fallen, he will make it new one day. Hallelujah, somebody. So as you marinate on that thought, I want y'all to think about a familiar story of these three wise guys, and the story's been told of them already. These three wise guys who chose to give something to baby Jesus on his birthday. Turn with me real quickly to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We'll be brief. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Good to see you in the house, Brother K. Mack, Sister Anita. Good to see y'all in the house today. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'll read quickly from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. He was lying. He was lying. If you don't know the story, he was lying. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Again, for this morning, real quickly, I want to leave this thought with you, this question: what will you give Jesus for Christmas? You may be seated in his presence. So the story, y'all, of these wise men, it's interesting to me for several reasons. It's intriguing. Number one, because we connected to the Christmas story. We connected to the birth story, the original birth of Jesus in the manger. But as Minister Terrell was just sharing, listen, he was probably about 2 years old when the wise men showed up to see Jesus. Think about this for a minute. They traveled, y'all, from distant lands. They traveled from far away to come see Jesus when his own people, the Jews, the religious leaders, wouldn't get up one inch to go and see about this star in this Christ child. It's interesting to me that some people that seem to be the closest to Jesus are actually the furthest away. And sometimes the people that seem the furthest away from Jesus are actually the closest to Jesus. The story is very intriguing for another reason. It's one of the few instances that we find in Scripture where people come and they give something to Jesus. When you read about the life of Jesus, when you read about his story, when you read about his ministry, people are always coming, they're coming to receive something. Jesus, I need a healing. Jesus, I'm blind, I need to be seen. Jesus, my child is sick, my son is sick, my daughter is sick, that he's always giving and giving and giving out to them. This is one of the few instances we look at in Scripture where people give to Jesus. These wise men give to Jesus. The Christmas story is about giving. It's the story about how God gave his only begotten son for you and for me. Yeah, it's the story about a woman by the name of Mary who used her womb as an incubator for the Christ child to be born through. It's the story about a man by the name of Joseph who gives his heart to this woman by the name of Mary to marry her, even though she was with child and he was not even a baby daddy. It's a story about giving. It's a story about these wise men who asked the question, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose and we have come to worship him. There it is. Then what did you come to give Jesus today? What would you give Jesus on Christmas Day? I dare to say what all of us should give to Jesus, not just at Christmas time, but at all times, we should give him worship. That Jesus deserves your worship and my worship. I wonder if you came in the house to worship him. Did you come just to see a performance? Did you come simply out of habit, or did you come to worship him today? They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Did you come to worship today? What did you come to do? That he deserves our worship. So like religious leaders, never be so close to Jesus that we lose sight of him. And like the wise men, never be so far away from Jesus that you don't know you can come to him humbly, meek, and lowly, and he will receive you and me. So as we seek to give worship to Jesus today, and every day, what can these wise men teach us? Three simple things, y'all, and we'll be done. Three things they teach us about worship. The first thing is simply this, that worship should be sacrificial. Again, these wise men come from the eastern lands. Maybe it was Babylon or Persia. We don't know the exact location, but we know they came from far away. They came from far away to worship Jesus, that it cost them something. Listen, beloved, worship ought to cost you something. Worship is not always convenient. Worship is not always easy. But we're to worship God, and worship ought to cost you and me something. What did it cost them? It cost them time. Can you imagine them going across the desert, hot during the day, it's cold during the night? Can you imagine them riding on camels? Can you imagine them walking behind camels and the camel smell and all of that? And they walk and they ride and they walk and they ride until finally they get to the house where it cost them time, y'all. Their worship ought to cost us something. That it cost them, some would say, talent. That they were astrologers, as theologians say it. That they read the stars. So they would have to read the star to see where the Christ child was to be born. It was a divine appointment that God actually showed them the star and guided them by the star. But they were astrologers. So in a sense, they used their talent to watch the stars and to watch the sky. I can see one wise man saying to the other, no, man, you got the wrong star. This one right there. Keep your eye on the right star. Keep your eye pointed to the right star. It's that one over there that they use their talent. But not only that, we know from the story that they gave of their treasure, they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But worship cost them something. They gave precious, costly gifts to God. Whenever you come to worship, beloved of God, it should cost you something. In the Old Testament, y'all, it cost them bulls and goats and doves and drink offerings and lamb. In the New Testament, the Lamb of God gave his very life as worship to God the Father. Worship ought to cost you something. My fear too often is we come to the house of God and we say we come to worship, but everything but worship is on our mind. Everything but worship is on our hearts. Let me drop something on you. Loyalty means nothing unless it has at its heart the absolute principle of sacrifice. Your loyalty to God means nothing if you're not willing to sacrifice to God. What are you willing to give up to God? Are you willing to give up the game on television? Are you willing to give up time to pray to God? What are you willing to sacrifice and give up to? Worship ought to cost you and me something. The Bible says they came to worship, and they worshiped sacrificially. So not only did the wise men give worship to Jesus sacrificially, but they also knew how to worship selflessly. Yeah, in this story, we see two attitudes. We see the attitude of King Herod. He was a nasty dude. He was a nasty rascal. That he says in the story, we see in the story here, that where is this Christ child? I want to go. I want to worship him. That's the last thing he wanted to do. Keep reading the story. You find out he wanted to kill him. He wanted him to die. That he's selfish. That he's petty and he's trite. Can you imagine a king or any other leader being petty and being trite? Can you imagine for a minute a leader that's so petty that anybody that talks about him, they want him out? That Herod was petty, that he was trite, but he wanted the Christ child to be killed. He was selfish. Listen, everybody that comes to church does not come to worship. Sometimes people come to church, y'all, and they come to worship. But sometimes people come to church, y'all, and it's performative. Sometimes people come to church, it's not about worship, it's about them. It's about how well they sing, how well they usher, how well they do this or that. It's about them. And some people come to church simply out of habit. It's simply what I do, Sunday in and Sunday out. I simply show up into the house of God. I show up at God's house. I do what I got to do, and I leave God's house. But how many people leave the house of God without worship? How many come into the house of God for corporate worship, but we don't leave worshiping God with worship on our lips and in our hearts? But then we see these wise men. That worship was a priority for them. It was a priority. Notice in the text that they come into the house where the Christ child is. They look over and they see Mary. Then they look at the baby and they bow down and they worship him. I wonder when we come into the house of God, who are we really worshiping? Then we come into the house of God and we see the pastor on a platform and we worship him. That we see our friends show up and we have more worship or praise for them than we do have for God or Jesus. When you showed up in the house today, who did you come to worship? Did you come to worship Jesus? Did you come to worship your Savior? That they didn't worship Mary, they didn't worship anyone else, or they worshiped the Christ child, they worshiped Jesus. The Bible said they offered him gifts without really a desire for exchange. That's the implication. They didn't want anything in return, Mother Taylor. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about the grandiose and the big. It was about worshiping him and giving him their very best without exchange. Y'all, let's be honest for a minute. I'll be done in just a minute. Let's be honest. That at Christmas time and in the giving of gifts, that we can be selfish sometimes. that I'm going to make sure that, you know, he get that bottle of Old Spice because he's going to give me a tennis bracelet. Baby, you know, I bought you this vacuum cleaner because I know you like vacuum cleaners. But you know the carpet need to be cleaned. Listen, man, do not buy your wife a vacuum cleaner to get a gift for. Don't mess up now. No household, unless that's what they say they want specifically. No household appliances, no vacuum cleaners, no mixers, no kitchen. Don't do it. But we can be selfish, y'all. But here's something that's real, on the real. Y'all, we can get to the Lord out of selfish motives too. That we can show up and we can lift our hands and we say, thank you, hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your name. Now give me what I want. And I need you to know he's not a genie in a bottle. He's not like some divine spin wheel. You can spin the button and you get what you want. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That if we're not careful, we can try to worship him, which is false worship, out of selfish motives. It's really about us and what we want. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That we can give to the Lord out of selfish motives too. But like the wise men, we must give worship selflessly. So is Lord, here I am to bow down. Here I am to worship. Here I am to say that you're my God and my King, that you're my Lord, you're my deliverer, you're my peace, you're my joy, and I'm here to worship you. I bow down and I worship. I bow down and I worship. I bow my heart and I worship. What would you give Jesus for Christmas if they worshiped selflessly? Last thing, and I'm done, y'all. They also worship suitably. What do I mean by suitable? It was appropriate. That they came correct with Jesus when it came to worshiping him. They bowed down before him. Wise men found Jesus, came into the house. They fell down and they worshiped him. They didn't trip. They didn't fall. Nobody had to tell them, say hallelujah, say hallelujah, I say hallelujah. Nobody had to say, raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands. Nobody had to prompt them or to prime them. How often do we come to church and preachers are sweating and they're sweating because they're trying to get people to lift up their hands, get people to worship God, get people to praise him. But when you know what you know, what you know and what he's done for you, listen, before you hit the parking lot, you got to praise on your lips. You got to worship in your spirit and a worship in your heart. You don't need anybody to prompt you or to prime you, to tell you to worship God, because you know too much about him. They worshiped him suitably. They worshiped him through the giving of their gifts. Minister Terrell already said it. Commentators have a lot of things to say about what these gifts actually symbolize. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. The gold for a king. The frankincense, the priest would offer, and the myrrh, you know, for one who was about to die. There are different variations about what this really, what it symbolizes, but here's what we know. The point is that the gifts that they offered, they were valuable. Can we say it was their best? When we come to worship God, we ought to offer him our very best. Not half-hearted worship. That too often times people will come to church and it's like they re-gift their worship. They got, here's my leftover. Here's the stuff that I don't want. Oh, hallelujah, here's the praise. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And worship is so much more than just what we say with our mouths. It's more than just the praise from our lips. That worship has to be a lifestyle.
Yeah,
that worship is a life. It's what happens when you go to your job on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Worship is what happens when someone cuts you off on the highway. Worship is what happens when your body is filled with pain. You still worship God.
Yeah.
That they worship suitably. That worship is more than a Sunday morning service. Worship is less about physical proximity. It's more about spiritual proximity. Your proximity to God and your proximity to Jesus. How close are you to Jesus? He is as close to you as you will allow him to be.
Amen.
That he showed up at Bethlehem for you and for me. that he walked this earth, that he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he died, but he didn't stay dead. He got back up with all power. It's this Jesus that we celebrate today. It's this Jesus that we serve. But let me ask you the question, are you serving him wholeheartedly? Are you worshiping him wholeheartedly? Do you have real adoration for him? Do you walk in obedience? That's a word we don't want. Do you walk in obedience to him? Do you sacrifice for him? Well, it's raining outside. No, I'm not going to church today. It's Christmas. It's coming. Where did you come? What will you give Jesus this Christmas? Suitable worship to Jesus is more, it's more about obedience and discipline and duty. That true worship matters, beloved. True worship, it matters. True worship matters. So let me ask you the question. What do you have that's too good for Jesus? Is it the house that you live in? Is it the car that you drive? What do you have that's too good for? Is it your time? Understand that all time belongs to him anyway. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. It's all his. The time that you have, he gave you the time. The breath that you have, he gave you the breath. And so how dare we stand with breath in our body and we cannot praise, we cannot open up our mouths, we cannot say hallelujah, we cannot even say thank you, Jesus. I know we all worship differently. Some of us are quiet and some of us are loud. Some of us are demonstrative. Brother JC, he preached a good word this morning, y'all. He preached a word this morning. So now I got two brothers, two preachers that got high energy. Brother JC and Reverend Mike, they got high energy. I told somebody, I'm low energy, y'all. That ain't me. I'm old. I'm low energy. I'm low energy. High energy. But I understand their praise. I understand their worship because they know what God has done for them. Wise men gave their best. They gave sacrificially. They gave selflessly. They gave suitably. Back to the question. The question is, what will you give Jesus this Christmas? That's a question you're going to have to answer. Will you give him your very best? Or will you give him leftovers? When it comes to your worship, when it comes to your prayer, what will you give him? Will you simply re-gift stuff to him that you never wanted in the first place? Or will you give him your very best? Sometimes the simplest voices are the wisest. Sometimes the simplest voices are the wisest. Listen to these simple voices.
Let me ask you a really important question. What do you want for Christmas this year?
I want a go-kart and a Lego set.
Legos.
What do you want for Christmas?
A two front teeth.
A 3D printer. Nintendo Switch 2.
Switch 2?
Doll.
Yay!
Hey! A basketball hoop.
An electric scooter.
Electric scooter.
Last birthday when I turned 4, I actually got some stamps.
An electric dirt bike.
Barbie dolls.
A boyfriend? Is that what you want?
No!
Are you excited about Christmas?
Have you ever been to a birthday party?
Yes.
What should you bring to a birthday party?
A present.
What are you supposed to bring to a birthday party?
Present. Jesus is a present.
What do you think he would want for Christmas?
What do you think presents Jesus wants?
Us.
What do you think he would want?
Me. You want his birthday to be a special day. That's where we celebrate it.
I would bring him a big present. Something big.
Like give him a hug or something? And like, yeah.
He would just want me probably to like to come and to love him.
I think he would want a happy family.
Probably us to follow him.
To me to go with him and Heavenly Father someday.
Love and kindness. Probably he would want my love.
Us.
So the question- question is, the question is, as the children are quiet now, you marinate on this. What will you give Jesus this Christmas? Can he have you? That's what he wants. That when you give him you, you can give him worship. When you truly give him all of you, you can give him praise. Will you give him you? I'm talking about the real you. Not the you that shows up to church and you look good in a good dress, a nice dress. Can you really give him you? Can you give him the you that other people don't see or even know about? Can you give him the you that he really wants? Can you give him the you that you've been holding on for far too long? He wants you. Can you bow down and worship him? Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down and to tell you, God, you are my king. You're altogether lovely, and I worship you. Bow down and worship him. Bow down and worship him and give him all of you. But what will you give Jesus this Christmas? And what will you give Jesus every day of your life? I hope you give him you. And the church said, amen. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise in the house today that he wants you. He wants all of you. He wants the heartache. He wants the pain. He wants the mountaintop and the valleys. He wants the dark moments and the happy moments, the good moments. He wants all of you. He wants it all. Will you give him all of you? Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for this Sunday before we celebrate what we call Christmas Day. Father, we honor you. We thank you for the sending of your Son. And his name is called Jesus, for he saves us from our sins. That his name is Emmanuel, because Jesus, you are God with us. You promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So here we are assembled together as a people of God to worship you. That you're more important than the material possessions or the things that we get. That Jesus, you are the most important thing in our lives, and we worship you. We adore you. We decrease that you might increase in us and through us. And in this moment, Jesus, by your Spirit, speak to the heart of that person that may not know you in the pardon of their sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe on this Jesus. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. In this moment, we're believing in our hearts, Father, that you raised him from the dead. We confess this Jesus with our mouths. Again, we believe in our hearts. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. And we accept him as the Lord, Savior of our lives. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Lead and speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. Listen, our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their hands are extended. If you are here today and you're not in the saving relationship with Jesus, we invite you into that saving relationship. If you're here today and you're not connected to a local church somewhere where you can worship with other believers, pray with other believers, fellowship with other believers, then Living Faith Community Church is a great place. It's a great place to be. It's a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. So as we're closing out today, if you are here, don't wait any longer. Hands are extended. Follow them to room number one across the hallway, just across the hallway. Follow them to room number one. Won't you come right now? If you tuned into our online ministry, listen, you can do it today as well. There is a link that you can click on right now. Click on that link. There's some information you can fill out. Fill that information out. I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you. Won't you come right now? Won't you come quickly? Won't you come right now? Won't you come?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.